Right, like it's just crazy to think about.
Yeah. It's just sometimes you're like, you just be in the shower and be like, wait, just like a few hours ago, I was like another part of the country that I've never been before, performing in front of like thousands of people. And now I'm just in the shower. Do you know what I mean? It's so,
Shower.
it's shower thoughts. It's just so strange how normal like life can go from 100 to zero. Like we'll be eating breakfast like a few hours after doing a show that ended at midnight, just really casually watching like Kitchen Nightmares, a bit of Gordon Ramsay after just doing an incredible show. It's so surreal, I think. I think we're still getting used to it.
Which is, I feel like that's kind of a thing that happens with a lot of new bands that are on the rise, is that your normal kind of suddenly shifts so drastically. For you guys, I guess you're normally like this now.
Yeah.
But let's take it back to the beginning. So obviously, you know, you grew up with each other. So, you know, how the band formed is probably a bit more obvious. But how did you guys, you know, when kind of did you decide that you wanted to be, you know, in a band together or making music together?
Well, I feel like it was always my dream. Like from primary school, I was like music and drama. Like if you thought of Nairobi, music and drama, I was always like with the music and drama teachers and just trying to learn and chat to them and try to show them the songs and stuff I've written. They're probably annoyed. Can you imagine like a 9-year-old probably listen to my song? No, I want my break. But I used to just, I just, that was like my whole world. And then one time I liked, when Che started getting a bit older, because there's like 3 years between us. So when I was 9 singing, she was like 6, so she hadn't like fully formed.
Developed.
Yeah. But as she started getting older, because I was always singing, she started singing as well. And then one day I was like, no, Che, like you sound really good. We should do this together. And she was like, no, I don't sound good. And I'm like, no, you sound good. Like we should do this for real. And then it kind of like naturally formed from there. But I say that it was kind of like me led at the beginning, just because I was the first one to have the dream, just based on that I'm the older one. This was when Chase still wanted to be like, what was one of your first jobs that you wanted to do? Something silly, you know what kids are like. But yeah, and then from then in secondary school, we kind of got a bit like distant just because with studying and just in general, we didn't see each other that often because we're at school all day and it was homework and sleep and whatever. But then with COVID, that was like, I know it was a really scary time, but it was also the time that was best for our relationship because we got to spend like a whole year together, doing music and just hanging out, dancing or whatever. And we never went back to school after COVID. So 12 and 16, 12 and 15. Yeah, and school never saw us again. So that's where we ended.
But at that point, you'd already started like performing and playing shows,
A
right?
little bit, not like we weren't all Black Era then. We were just Nairobi and Chaya doing some like small shows in the city. But this was like a children level. We didn't really do anything in like secondary school, did we? Like we didn't do anything for like 5 years together, really. So we weren't like known or anything. We were just like, probably it was a punishment, you know, for adults to watch, you know, two little primary school children sing a song together. It's probably boring as hell. But yeah, it's blossomed into something, you know, almost huge at the moment. So yeah.
And was there always like music at home growing up? Like, what were you guys initially listening to?
We were listening to a lot of things, especially during COVID times when we had more time to just think about what we actually liked, not what everyone else liked at school and stuff. And we got into we just went around the world, didn't we?
Well, it's so weird because with me, like when people ask, like, what did you grow up listening to? With me, because like we started making music when I was 16, I have more of like previous experiences. But Che was 12, so it's like she was still kind of growing up now, so it almost is like hard. So technically, growing up, I'm not sure if you know them, but like JLS, One Direction, you know, children's music.
It's very much off the time 2015. Like that's what I because I'm like 24 now, so I also remember that like I was 15 when all that stuff was happening, and that was very much in every school, in every classroom.
Yeah, I had like the lunchbox, the JLS lunchbox, the One Direction pencil
I had
case.
the posters on my wall.
So, and a lot of like Rihanna and Alicia Keys and Leona Lewis was big back then. So, because we had a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
And I remember this is a really random story, but I remember one time I got my phone confiscated and they used to put music on the karaoke machine really quiet. It's a sign of defiance on the lowest volume. And then if my mum came in, I'd turn off so quick. But yeah, I think that's kind of, we had loads of fun like performing with mics and singing silly songs and just being really big to like other people's music.
And then I feel like that bigness has made its way into your music as well. Like we were talking about the choruses just being so huge. But I also kind of want to talk about themes on the music that you make, because I think you've been making music for a few years now, but already I guess themes are starting to emerge where, to me, it kind of feels like, obviously with like Freak Show and I'm Normally Like This and songs like that, they're like themes of being a misfit. But also, what I really love about it is there are these themes of, like radical acceptance where, I don't give a damn if they like it. I'm normally like this.
I think it was after like a lot of gatekeeping that we experienced and a lot of like people online, saying that we're this, no, you're that, no, you're not that, you can never be this because you're this and all of that. And we kind of got to the point where we were just like, we just are who we are. You know what I mean? It's not really up for debate and we just wanted to scream that. And surprisingly, there's so many other people who relate to that song because we didn't write it for other people to relate to. We wrote it because it was just like on our hearts. And then, yeah, it's now a very relatable song.
For sure it is. And musically as well, not really this, not really that. It doesn't fit into a specific box. There's like a bit of goth music, some metal, some alternative and pop music. And then, there's the industrial edge that comes in that's just so cool, touches of rap and everything. How did like all these different influences come together? Because like there are bands that have split up over having these different influences. You know what I mean?
I'm not really sure where everything came from. We just like to do whatever we like to
Yeah.
do. We listen to a lot of different music, my
Yeah.
sister and I. We have like totally different tastes,
Yeah.
so we just try to meet in the middle on songs. So I think that's where the mix comes from.
Yeah, and I feel like because we're sisters as well, like I can imagine with bands that are like friends and stuff, it's easy to fall out with a friend. But we live together and we've been together literally since like she was born. So it's harder to like have a big fallout with someone that, lives next in the next wall over. Do you know what I mean? So we're just really close. And I think it's just about respecting each other's like opinions on the music and what they want to do. Because if I like sometimes I suggest things and change like I don't really like it, and I'm like okay, and I write something else. It's not like a big deal. We just try and find like the gap where we're both happy.
Yeah, this isn't going to be like the oasis of sibling rivalry.
No.
Particularly at a time like this. But I'm also finding other themes of like defiance and pushback in your songs, because like there are pieces which you articulate so heartbreakingly well on songs like Slowly Die. So tell me a
Yeah.
bit about like a song like that.
Well, that was the first song that, like, yeah, we ever released. And originally that happened because I wrote two songs with the same name, and then it was like Solar and
Solar and
Luna.
Luna, yeah.
But because I was a drama student, and just in general, I've always written about really like deep subjects. I remember in like year nine or something, I wrote like an essay. Well, no, it was like a poem, like a long poem about the life of a prostitute from like their side. And the teachers were like, are you what why are you exposed to this? Do you know what I mean? Like what's going on? And I don't know, I just really th always thought of outside of the box like that, with a kind of, I guess, dark element for some reason. I just deep it too much maybe. But yeah, I wanted it to be mysterious and edgy and weird. And it was kind of, I feel like I can really see how we've developed as songwriters, because this was about a husband cheating on his wife, and then she kind of like gets him back and wants him to die slowly and live with his pain rather than like getting rid of him. Like she wants him to like live and be in pain. And then Slowly Die Luna is like almost completely different, but still as deep and touching as well. So I think with the topics that we write about, it's kind of, it comes from our imaginations and then mixed in with our experiences and things that you see in the media and whatever just speaks to us. Because I think we're just into creative writing, really, aren't we? And then it kind of went into songwriting.
Mm-hmm. And I also definitely see the touch of like a drama student's mind at work, not just in the lyrics, but also in kind of, there are a lot of cinematic sounds on some of those songs as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think on Freak Show, there's like those kind of like dark synths leading in and then those like bells chiming and everything. And, you know, that kind of like slightly creepy vibe that's coming through. It's just like, it's very cinematic.
Yeah, I think, and like with our live shows as well, like we're really like, it feels like we're really performers. You know what I mean? Like that word in like what we wear and stuff, like it's definitely a visual performance and like seeing and then what you're hearing. It's almost like...
it's an immersive experience.
Yeah, it's immersive. It's like, what, like 4D cinema?
Yeah.
And yeah, very much the visuals are a big part of that. Like, you know, kind of leaning into that goth like vibe and with the dressing and everything. But then I've also like seen the, you guys, like you will rep the Nine Inch Nails t-shirts and stuff like that live. Yeah. So I love how kind of how two different vibes go together so well. And they're both all, you know, very well fittingly all black hair.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a mystery how we've managed to blend so many different genres together. I'm just glad it works because it could have gone very south. Do you know what I mean? But it seems to be going quite well.
It's definitely been going well. I mean, we've now seen you guys on, I think, BBC Radio 1. You've been on MTV. They've been the Heavy Awards. They've been the Mobile Awards. And like those ones must be quite special.
Yeah, I think sure. Yeah, really big awards. I mean, the Mobile Awards was another one. It was like we were on the red carpet. And then a few hours, like the way we were like getting breakfast, it's like, what is life? How do we like, how do we go from a red carpet and then back to our hotel room? And then you have to wake up in the morning like you weren't just on a red carpet the night before.
Yeah.
And we have to just pretend that that's like normal. I wanted to tell everyone, like, walk past on the street, guess where I was that night?
it's worth telling people.
Yeah. I mean, when I was like walking out to the car, when I was like dressed up, you were already in the car, but people were like filming. I saw some, like, I was walking past like cars, like that they stopped at the lights. Everyone was looking, but some people started like recording. I was like, hold on, guys, I'm not a celebrity yet.
Not
but
yet.
Save that on your phone for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it till later. But I think like old black era, it's quite different to like Nairobi and Che, because when we're old black era, we're really in the moment. But like when we're Nairobi and Che, we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. So yeah.
But also like the name, and I guess like I should also say that you've got a few fans in high places as well. How did the thing with Wheatus just come about to be?
Yeah, so basically, so you know, when we performed at Download Festival, he said that he saw us in like the press area. We were doing like loads of interviews and stuff. But he didn't want to come over and say hi because we were busy. And I was like, you should have come over and said hi. Why was he like, anyway, that's a whole other story. And then they came over like from New York to England in the studio. And then, yeah, we met them there and like hung out with them for a few days.
Yeah.
So surreal.
It was.
And I think one thing about Wheatus as well is how professional they were. And it's weird, like, you could see the years of experience and how, like, I can't explain that. It was kind of like a moment where we were just in awe constantly. Mm-hmm. And in the industry as well, it's really rare for, like, young women to have their voices heard and everything. But when we were, like, speaking to them and, like, with ideas, I was like...
They listened.
Yeah, it was like, you're respecting our thoughts. This is unusual. And it... I think we haven't been used to like someone like unconditionally.
Yeah, so humble.
Yeah, so humble and not shutting us down and thinking that they know everything because they're, you know, super famous, but really listening to our ideas. It felt strange to be respected by such a prestigious band. I know that's really sad and I hope it changes, but it was also, I acknowledge that it is unusual and I'm so thankful that we've connected with such great people right off the bat, because it could have easily, we could have, you know, met some people that weren't as nice and that weren't respectful, but they are just, yeah, so happy we got that experience at like a young age, so we know the standard.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So everyone must respect us from now on.
I want to come back to that whole thing about, like, you know, like being a woman of color in music and especially in heavy music. But before we leave the whole Wheatus thing from for now, is there a collaboration on the way?
Well. That's potentially something. That's potentially something.
Okay.
You gotta watch the socials. Mm-hmm. Keep watching.
Absolutely. We've been keeping an eye on it. And I'm glad to see that people have been, you know, loving the music so much, coming out to your shows. And a lot of people have said that the music has, you know, spoken to them and touched them. And especially, you know, a lot of people who are maybe coming to heavy music, you know, from marginalized, from like corners of, let's say, rock music that are not as frequently represented, where, you know, I think you've been saying that, you know, you guys write about like misogyny and stuff, and people, fans of all ages, have been reaching out to you saying that your stuff has really helped them through.
Yeah, I think when that first started happening, it was kind of, yeah, strange again that something that we created has like helped someone so much. Mm-hmm. But it's just an honor that we've been able to reach people that way with our music. And just hoping that we can continue to, you know, touch people's lives in the way that we have been.
Mm-hmm. And also your name holds like a lot of significance. Just it's a kind of bold declaration of what you're here to do. Start a new era of alternative Black music.
Yeah, I think, the name was really important to us to have that, to be striking. And you know, we don't always talk about it in our music. Like, we talk about a, you know, bunch of different topics, like with My Drummer's Girlfriend and stuff. That's just like a little messy song. But, you know, to our core, you know, it's always, you know, important to remember, you know, where we are, where we've come from, and just to be a beacon for other people as well, to see it, to see themselves in us. Because we had, you know, stars that we looked up to at a young age, and it's weird that people look up to us as well, like the younger ones. It's so strange, but yeah, hopefully we can be, you know, some positive role models.
It's amazing to think that there might be like 14, 15-year-olds in the crowds coming and seeing you guys. And then that's like the next generation of rock stars.
Yeah, it does younger though. We have like kids, mm-hmm. like primary school kids. We did this one show, this like one festival, and there were like 4, 5, 6-year-olds like jumping up and down at the front. I was amazing. Like, where are your parents? There's like 5 of you here. You're not related. You're just going crazy at the front and your parents are just so chill. And this is when we were playing like the hardcore of our music. Mm-hmm. So it's so weird to see like a 7-year-old knowing the words to our lyrics. We're thinking, you shouldn't be knowing these words. These words are a bit too deep for a 7-year-old, but yeah.
I've loved seeing that at, like, you've been talking about your shows. I also saw the Linda Lindas recently, and their crowds are also just really young kids in the front, just, like, losing their minds and clearly seeing, you know, their new role models up there.
Yeah.
So it's
Linda Lindas is sick.
Mm-hmm. So it's just incredible to see, like, you know, now we know what kind of the next generation of music is. But you talked about My Drummer's Girlfriend, and these are kind of a few of the singles that we've been seeing released for the album that you've just announced, Rave Immortal.
That's out in January.
That's out 26th? In January.
24th of January, the whole album's out.
Super excited. We've got more music coming out until then, and we're going to be doing like 2 launch parties, which I'm super excited for because it feels like we haven't performed in front of like our crowd in ages.
Yeah.
So excited for that one.
And we've had 2 singles, and I think there's going to be a 3rd either a little before this interview airs or just after. But all of them have been so different from each other. Like, it's been showing a real range of, like, the old Black era musical canon, where My Drummer's Girlfriend is just this super catchy kind of, like, heavy alt pop. I don't even know what to call it. I love that we can't classify it into any one specific thing. But it's, like, a really heavy kind of but very catchy song. And on the other hand, Straight to the Heart is almost on the other end of the musical spectrum. And then we've heard snippets of the new single, and it sounds very kind of grungy and almost emo.
Yeah,
I definitely wanted to do an emo song, since my new love of music is emo. I just really wanted to do an emo song. I'm so happy that Nervy let me. And it's just a big like hug to anyone that feels like down, and
it's called Coming Outside. Yeah. So it's just like I see it like the song is like hands like reaching out for like anyone just to take, because sometimes when you're in like a place and it's like you feel like you're alone, you just need one person to kind of like help you re-see everything and just to pull you out. And a lot of people with, you know, depression, whether it's seasonal depression, chronic depression, sometimes you just need to go outside, and sometimes you just need to go outside with someone else and have someone there waiting for you. And I feel like people often give up on others that have, you know, issues with them, whether it's like a illness or depression or whatever, and they kind of just forget about them and leave them alone because they've got something wrong with them. But this song is like calling those people out, and like standing with them, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's always always great to have songs that just say, come on out, touch grass with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what does the album hold in store? Because, you know, we've seen so many different sides of it, and this is just three songs from the album.
Definitely the unexpected. You won't be able to guess.
You won't be able to guess.
You won't. A little bit of D&B, a little bit of Lady Gaga kind of music.
Yeah, it's like, if I had to like mention artists, I'd say it'd be like a huge jumble pot of Lady Gaga, Bring Me the Horizon, The Prodigy, bit of Ashnikka. Would we say Sleep Token for the heavier stuff?
Yeah.
Bit of Nine Inch Nails for the eerie vibes. It's just a lot of... it's a lot to unpack. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, definitely like the D&B rock kind of medley vibes. I think just music that's really fun to listen to is a mm-hmm. big thing. Like, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And it's stuff I'm sure is going to go down so well in the pit, because it's all like high energy stuff. They're great choruses, really catchy stuff that you can just like shout. And I'm sure it's going to go great on those big open stages. Like, you need big sounds to fill, you know, festival kind of vibes.
Mm, I think, like, from when we've, like, performed a few of the unreleased things, they've gone down really well.
Really?
Like, people have already been singing along to the words, like, just from hearing it once. And we're like, how do you know the words, guys? And we've had crowd surfers and, like, crazy pits. And, yeah, I think it's going to, like, 2025 is going to be a really exciting year when everything's out and we're, like in full swing.
2025 is going to be Alt Black Era's era. That's where it gets going.
I love that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also to quickly touch upon kind of themes on the album, we've seen that it seems a bit more complex, even somehow more complex than the stuff that you've already done. And they also seem like they're slightly more personal themes as well on the album from what we've kind of heard in the songs. So, like, is it, like, just a collection of songs, or has there specifically been kind of, like, themes plotted out that we should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a concept album that kind of leads into, like, a fantasy world, which is really strange because it's, like, almost, like, hyper-realistic and talking about, like, my personal situation, which is, like, dealing with the chronic illness two chronic illnesses for the past 4 years.
Straight to the Heart talks about that.
Yeah, into becoming something like larger than life and kind of stripping away the problems of humanity and all like the daily struggles and becoming rave immortal at the end. So it's like a real transformation. I hope people listen to the album in like the full, you know, the full 10 songs and don't skip. But yeah, it's like a concept album that leads into, realistic to fantasy. So it's really exciting that we've been able to create this world that stems from who we are every day into like who we want to be and who we're potentially going to be if We all get chips implanted in our brains and become robots, basically.
I love it. A sci-fi concept album. It would lend itself really well to, you know, an album listening kind of a party thing. So is any of that stuff planned out yet? Like what's coming up next for you guys? What's the next era?
Yeah, well, we've got the album launch parties next year, London and Nottingham. So they're going to be really big. And then it'll be tour later on in 25. But the rest of this year is going to be just loads of new music, getting everyone hyped for the album. And the album is available to pre-order as well. It's like...
And where can people find it?
If you just type in Rave Immortal and Alt, as much as you can remember as Alt Black Era, and it will come up. Even just A, it should come up. And it's literally like... for as little as like £7, and then you get two unreleased songs. So it's like if you pre-order it, you get to hear two songs off the album that aren't going to be released in the next few months. So, you know, I've heard that people like it from what they've said. They do, good reviews, a few 5 out of 5s.
Well, it's going to be an absolutely massive debut album when it comes out. I'm really looking forward to it. Do you have like dates or anything planned for shows that are going outside of the UK or outside Europe?
Not at the moment. But when
we're in planning mode,
and when you know, our listeners and like our fans like build outside of like UK and Europe, we'll be out there.
Absolutely.
We just need to find our people. Hello, anyone listening? If you are people, hello. So yeah, once we like get bigger out there, then we should be able to come and, you know, shut down part of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, if you do end up coming this side, you know that like I'll be here, our listeners will also be here.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a whole thing. If you do end up coming around this side, it'll be a great party, like out in maybe Toronto or something like that.
Yeah, nice. That would be really, really fun. I mean, Chayu has a long history with Canada.
I do. I've always wanted to live in Canada. I've had my whole life planned out there.
Yeah, this is from when she was like little. For some reason, Canada was just the one.
Yeah, because I looked up houses for sale. I knew exactly what house I was going to live in. I knew what job I was going to have. I just had everything planned out and then we did music.
Well, that sounds like grounds for a second concept album, really, if you ask me. Of like a Canadian chair just living out her dreams in Canada, and that's a 10-song album.
Yeah, I see it working. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm moving to Canada. Can be the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the second album for when you retire, become like a recluse in the north of Canada, and just write this like album about someone living out there, just on the ice.
That's what she wants to do. She wants to live in like a part where no one is, just on her own, four walls. A bed and a fridge.
Mm-hmm. Well, my little sister is 4 years younger than me. So when kind of Frozen came out, she was the right age for it. So I've seen it all.
Oh, that is so exciting. Oh, my gosh. To be your little sister in Frozen era. Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, so I think that's all the questions that I have for you guys. And before we kind of devolve into just dissecting Frozen on the music show... I could see you guys being like the soundtrack of a film like that, though.
Yeah, that would be really cool, actually. Especially with like the kind of edgy vibe that we have and like the operatic kind of sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does Frozen great for angst. It does great for angst, and Chair gets to like partly live out her dreams. So everyone wins. But guys, thanks so much for joining me today. What should we do music-wise? Should we go out with Straight to the Heart? Or should we maybe give people a preview of the new song? What would you like to do?
We'll give them a taste of something new. I think they'll appreciate that one. And then, if you're listening, go and check out our other two songs, My Drummer's Girlfriend and Straight to Heart. And then, thank you so much for listening. We are Alt Black Era, now playing Come On Outside.
On CFRC Radio.
I'll be right here right by your side. Don't know your life. hands on your shoulders. Tell me, are you really alive or are you coping? Tell us how you wanted to die, but they ain't noticed. Trust me that I noticed. Come on outside. You gotta live before you die. Don't know you'll fight. So they can't say you didn't try. Come on outside. I'll be right here, right by your side. Don't know you're lying. So they can't say you didn't try. What's say? Breathe another way. I've been down for a second. I thought that it was over. Way too scared to go back, so I left without the closure. Guess we're supposed to move in and just take it like a grown up. Don't you fight the battles by yourself, you're not supposed to.
It is now approximately 9:30 in the p.m. You are listening to CFRC FM 101.9 FM, cable channel 954 on Kojiko, and available on the World Wide Web at www.cfrc.ca. I am Weave. Good evening on this, you know, kind of almost pre-Halloween-y sort of evening feel right now. But I kind of dig it. You know, I'm not sweating tonight, so, you know, that's a positive. Most weekends I've been kind of, you know, very dehydrated. But I'm kind of digging the autumn-y vibes. And I'm going to, you know, bring something kind of like that will fit that. We'll just have lots of music the next hour and a half. We'll get through it as it goes. But to start off with kind of, befitting this vibe, Screamin' Sins, who put out their EP Haven for the Damned a couple months ago, just did a new video for a song called Sinner's Club. Go on YouTube, check it out. It's a vid. It's good times. So I'm gonna play said song, and then after that, the Urban Surf Kings have put out a new album, probably, you know, Nova Scotia's best surf band, I would say. New album, Electric Buffalo. I'm going to play a song from that, Title Shock. I'm also going to play something from the new OC's album. And then it's going to be like a lot of garagey and surfy sort of stuff the first half hour. So, you know, I didn't really want to talk a lot, so I'm not going to. I'm going to play some music. So here is Screamin' Sins with Sinner's Club on CFRC.
Do you believe in evil?
That's an idea.
Do you believe in the power of darkness?
That's a superstition.
Now there you are wrong. The power of darkness is more than just a superstition. It is a living force which can be tapped at any given moment of the night.
Yeah. dirt and out of her space, but the flame of places to